My people, welcome back to the Anti-Quiet Podcast. I have got some great news for you, especially if you're a fan of Chris Cornell or Soundgarden in any way, shape, or form. Oh man, I've just received some very reliable word that as of last night, the lawsuit between Soundgarden and Vicky Cornell, Chris Cornell's widow, is now over. A settlement has been reached, and to put it mildly, Soundgarden fans are the clear winners here. Now, I'm going to give you the backstory on all of the lawsuit and why it's important and what hung in the balance and so on and so forth. That's important. Those details are important to understand. But I'm going to boil down what this really means for fans right now. Soundgarden is now able to finish and release the album that they were working on and had nearly completed at the time of Chris Cornell's death back in 2017, almost 6 years ago. I'm going to say that again so that everybody understands something that is really, really big news here. There is a nearly completed new Soundgarden album that we have never heard a note of before that has just been cleared to be finished and released as a Soundgarden album. A whole record of Soundgarden music we have never heard, and it's not some collection of B-sides or other bullshit. This was exactly what Cornell was working on when he passed away. That is amazing. So let's back up a bit. So back in 2019, Vicky Cornell took the band to court, the surviving members of Soundgarden. She was accusing them of withholding royalties from Chris Cornell's estate. And there was another lawsuit that took place in 2021 with Vicky and Soundgarden arguing over her share of the business. And she was saying that she was the sole owner of his recordings and that the band had actually withheld royalties from her and so on. And it sounded as familiar as the first. The judge at the time had deemed Vicky Cornell's allegations to lack the appropriate evidence. And so the two cases were consolidated into one and so on. And on it continued for years. The judge even said, like, look, this is a terrible distraction that was, you know, at risk of tarnishing the legacy of Soundgarden. And she must, you know, obviously have her reasons for doing what she's doing to, quote unquote, protect herself and her children. But the lawsuit ground on. And you know, it's a tricky thing. You know, there's been a lot of circumstances that have stood in question since Chris Cornell's death. And, you know, I'm not talking about some Courtney Love killing Kurt Cobain type nonsense. I'm talking about the fact that there's a great many unspokens in the world surrounding Chris since he died. I mean, shit, listen to Comes and Goes by Pearl Jam from their newest record. And look at the fact that the Chris Cornell tribute down in L.A., the fact that it was down in L.A., it didn't feature a great many of the core part of the Seattle scene that made him, that he came from. You know, there was no proper tribute in such a regard. And it seems to be just an unclosed wound, an unhealed wound that could possibly have gone on forever without healing, you know, or at least partially remain open due to the circumstances surrounding the power grabs and darkness of spirit and, you know, what many fans perceive to be a very controlling, let's call it estate following his passing. But this development, the fact that Soundgarden comes away victorious in such a way that they can use Cornell's recordings for a Soundgarden record as intended, we can take a great many strides towards healing that wound because the work that he was passionately putting himself into, you know, his putting his life into at the time of his passing, that was focused on an energy and a message or whatever he was doing, whatever he was creating and saying that now can be expressed the way it was intended. That's fantastic. We're going to hear a new Soundgarden album. Holy shit. that's incredible. So let's dig a little deeper into the suit. You know, Vicky Cornell alleged that Chris recorded the tracks at his home studio, which was in Florida, and she claimed that there was no explicit agreement that these recordings were made for Soundgarden, and that made Vicky the exclusive owner at this point. And she further alleged that the songs, you know, as long as she was involved in the production and the marketing aspect and so on, that those songs could potentially be part of a Soundgarden album, but only if, you know, certain conditions were met. And the band themselves were like, look, her demands weren't exactly what they were willing to work with. And so they wanted to negotiate, you know, an arrangement, but they couldn't do that out of court. And these recordings, for the record, were referred to by Vicky as the SG files. And, you know, she was writing in an email that she stated that her husband was traveling for a new SG record, quote unquote, you know, and the band alleged that these files were not recorded in his, in Cornell's home studio. They were recorded in Seattle in New York while the band was touring. And, you know, the band apparently had developed the songs far enough that they had full song titles, you know, along with writing credits. And these credits allege that each band member co-wrote at least one song with Cornell. Matt Cameron, the drummer, also the Pearl Jam drummer, he was credited on three of the tracks. And according to these credits, only two tracks named Cancer and Stone Age Mind were exclusively written by Cornell. But there were a number of other tracks that were credited. Like you've got Ahead of the Dog, which was credited to Cornell and Thile, Kim Thile, the bassist, the guitarist. Ahead of the Dog, that's interesting, tempo. There's Murmas, with Cornell and Ben Shepherd, the bassist. Stone Age Mind by Cornell. At Ophion's Door by Cornell and Cameron. Road Less Traveled by Cornell and Cameron. And Orphans, Cornell and Cameron. So I could have just described to you the new track list, probably out of, most likely out of sequence, of the new Soundgarden record. Who knows? For all I know, that's the names of all of the songs on the record. That would be amazing. Let's bring it on, bring it out. But, you know, Soundgarden claimed that all the members worked on the tracks and they were now in Vicky Cornell's possession. So they didn't even have access to the things that they created. And therefore, all of the parties are involved in, you know, this clusterfuck lawsuit that was just a mess. And the suit elaborated that none of the band members or the plaintiff would be paid until all the expenses are paid and the partnership shares of recording could be calculated and distributed. Like, it was just a total mess. And so it's all been boiled down now, and it's all finished, and it's all over. And we're going to have a new Chris... Nope, we're not going to have a new Chris Cornell record. We're going to have a new Soundgarden record. And that is amazing news. I've been listening to Soundgarden since I was 14, 15 years old. And I listen to Soundgarden to this day. There's not a week that passes without at least one full album playthrough. I'm insanely grateful and appreciative and celebratory of the fact that my daughter is a huge Soundgarden fan. I get tears in my eyes just talking about it. Because holy shit. I mean, tell me a more incredible vocalist from our generation. Episode 15 of the Anna Quiet Podcast. Squirrel and I recorded it the day Chris died. And I was messed up. I was affected more than when Kurt died. His artistry is just so significant and so incredible. And the spectrum of it is just this beautiful mass of craziness. And, you know, Scream notwithstanding is that shitty Timberland record. But, God, man, it's just incredible. I wanted to bring you guys this news. This is fantastic, this development. And we're going to hear and see a lot of news and development between now and whenever a new Soundgarden album is released. But it's coming. And you heard it here first on the Anna Quiet Podcast. See you next time.